That last verse always gets me. When in this poor lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave, then in a nobler, sweeter song, I'll sing that power to save. That always reminds me of our pastor, and of course, there are many others that have gone on before and are in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. And they're already doing this.
Right.
It's going to come soon.
Amen.
All right. Let's have a little bit of prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity again to be here. Pray that you would speak to our hearts tonight. We thank you for all the blessings you've given to us. We thank you for the heritage that we have, both in this country and then especially here at this church, and the blessings that you've given to us through Pastor Freeman and these other men that have come along since he passed away to preach the Word of God. We're thankful we can still hear your Word preached by men of God who believe in this book. We pray that our hearts would be prepared for this coming Sunday. Any time that we come here. Pray for those who could not be here tonight because of sickness. Pray that you comfort their hearts and strengthen them and encourage them. For those who could not be here because of work, we ask your blessing upon them and their responsibilities. Help them to do the best job that they can. Give us a good night now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. I don't have any special announcements that I know of right now. So, other than I trust all of us know what this coming Sunday is.
So, we mothers know.
Yes. Anyway, so it's going to be a good day. Hopefully, I'll have a good attendance on Sunday morning. Everybody will have a good time here at the church. Before we go to our other song, it's 183, you can turn there, but why don't we go over our memory verse. 2 Samuel 23, verse 2. Samuel 23, 2. The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. All right. Any of the 40 plus human authors of the Bible could echo that. Just as David said, it's not a song. It kind of is in a way. Okay, 183, Rock of Ages.
Yeah.
printed issue as far as the prayer bulletin. So again, I apologize. Hopefully we'll be able to get that fixed as soon as possible. In the meantime, we can still take prayer requests if there are any new. Yes, Doug?
Two things. Pete Heisey went Monday. Julie took him to the hospital to see the cardiologist, and they wouldn't let her stay with him. They took him away, and hours went by, and she didn't know where he was and what was going on. And it wasn't until quite a while later they finally let her go see him. He was in a room and had a roommate, and Pete didn't know what happened, but the roommate told her that they put a stent in. Never even talked to her about it. So, but he's doing okay. He went home today. They said there still is a blockage, but they couldn't do another one right now, but it's doing okay. So just continue to pray for his memory issues. And also Pastor Reddy called today. He and his wife will be going on May 20th to the doctor for a checkup for their diabetes. And also, he asked us to pray for his younger daughter. I can't remember what her name is. One is Sarala. I don't know if it's her. She's 32. She's been not feeling good, having some trouble. They did some blood work, and they did an MRI, and the doctor thinks she has a malignant brain tumor. Tomorrow, we're supposed to get the results of the MRI to find out whatever they can find out about it. I don't know. I don't think they can tell from an MRI if it's malignant. But she has a little four-year-old. So Pastor Reddy asked us to pray for her and her family. He said that they don't have money to go to the doctor and kept putting it off till she was too sick, and they finally went, and I imagine they probably had to take a loan. And now with the MRI and blood tests and everything, it's going to be expensive. So wait for that too.
Yep, she had the whole team of doctors was in on Monday and went over what they were going to do for the week. Well, she did a bunch of tests yesterday and today, and now tomorrow she'll have a stress test on for her heart, where they'll put a almost like a PICC line down into the neck, and it'll measure how strong her heart is. They're not worried about the heart. They just have, these are all things they have to do before they consider a surgery to that magnitude. Because the heart will be affected, they have to take those lungs out and then reconnect the new lungs to the heart. So, and it's pretty amazing that they can even do what they're talking about doing here. Mm-hmm. And apparently they do these surgeries every day. The one doctor told us that every day somebody's getting a set of lungs.
Wow.
So that's encouraging, knowing that they're not rookies at this. And this isn't a new procedure. It's a very high success rate, but that doesn't mean that it doesn't come with a set of complications, which often are unique to each patient. There's so many different variables in the surgery because everybody responds a little bit differently to the lungs, depending on who they came out of, how close your genetic matches are, depends on whether your body accepts them better than others. She is not in imminent danger right now. I don't think that they're talking about doing this transplant immediately. In fact, I know they're not. And we will know more tomorrow night. Tomorrow, the, case gets presented to the team of, there's a committee, a transplant committee, that will consider all the facts of the case and all the scenarios, and they will make their recommendation whether they think she's a candidate and when would be a good time to get on the list. So the getting on the list is going to kind of be up to us. There are some things we need to do first, and she's well enough that we have the luxury to be able to get these things in order. One of them is she's going to need a lot of help with caregiving after the fact. She'll be in the hospital for probably 2 weeks, but then probably 2 months following, she's not really going to be able to do much on her own. So that's all things we need to get taken care of and get people lined up and so we have time to do that, which is a blessing for her. Some people don't have that luxury. They're there faced with a crisis and just have to make do. So we'll know more on Thursday night. So by Sunday, I'll be able to. Those of you on Facebook, you'll be able to. I'll put an update on there. And she should be coming home Friday morning.
Okay. Look forward to seeing her on Sunday morning.
Yeah, she's hoping to be here.
Okay. Yes, Barbara.
My cousin, Carmen, died of the brain cancer. And he's not safe, but I'm afraid that his wife and three children will be saved. Yeah, I'm sorry, just not. Joyce is his wife, and he's got three children, all in their 30s, and he lived out in California, so I need to get to my brother and call him and have him give me their address and go for it from there. But you know, I'm just praying for them.
Okay. Everybody catch that?
Not exactly.
Okay. Barb's cousin died from cancer. He was unsaved. The family is unsaved. And just pray for that. And she's going to be contacting her brother in order to be able to get their address. They live out on the West Coast. Mm-hmm. So just pray for that whole situation.
Okay. Thank you.
And also my Aunt Betty, she had died about 1.5 weeks ago.
I'm not sure if she's still on the list or not.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, there she is. Okay.
She had so many problems.
Okay. Anyone else? Yes, Sam.
Can you repeat the last thing that Barb said?
Yes. On the second page of the bulletin, we had her Aunt Betty, broken hip and so forth. She passed away.
Oh, okay.
Not quite 2 weeks ago. Okay. Anything else?
Keep praying for Carl. He's recovering from his surgery. He's in good spirits, and it sounds like he feels good this time. So let's just keep praying for him. Pray that he doesn't overdo things and mess it up again. I think he's learning his lessons. So, if he's taking it easy this time.
A little while ago, somebody asked the question of, do we know what this Sunday is? Now, I got another calendar question for you. Does anybody know what tonight is? Or today, I should say, today. Pardon me? Nope. I'll give you a hint. It's on our church calendar. Something that not a whole lot of people pay attention to. I'll give you credit on that. I'll give you a B plus. It wasn't the right answer, but that Wednesday night prayer meeting. Oh my goodness. Full moon. No, it isn't the full moon either. It's what it is, it's VE Day. Does anybody know what VE Day is? Victory in Europe. That was when Nazi Germany surrendered in 1945. Okay, and the reason I bring that up is because it's going to be mentioned later on in this hymn history that I will be doing tonight. The hymn history is about the song, Oh, That Will Be Glory, and that's number 688 if you'd like to get yourself ready for that. We won't sing it right now, but if you want to look at the song, that's fine. And I knew it was VE Day, and I thought, well, how can I give a message that is even remotely associated with such an event? So my first attempt was to find, well, maybe somebody wrote a hymn that would commemorate this. Nothing. I couldn't find anything. I looked and looked and looked. And there wasn't really, I mean, there were hymns written during the war years, but they really had nothing to do with anything like that, anything that was related to, this particular victory. So anyway, I thought, well, I'll look at some Bible verses about war, and I did. There's a lot of verses about war in the Bible, as you can imagine, Old Testament, New Testament. And I thought, well, I don't know. This isn't really what I want to do either. So I thought, well, I'm just going to get my hymn history book out and just start looking. And so I grabbed an old book that I hardly ever use, and I turned in the first one was Oh, That Will Be Glory, and I thought, oh, that's interesting. So I started to look at it, and I thought to myself, well, you know, the ending of the war in Europe must have been a very good thing, and I'm sure a lot of people were happy. And so I kind of went with that thought. So I'm going to go ahead with this hymn story. I gave you a little background. Maybe I gave you too much, but anyway. It also has a subtitle called The Glory Song. In some hymnals, it'll be in parentheses. It'll say The Glory Song. But it is titled, in our hymn book and most hymn books, it says, Oh, That Will Be Glory. Mr. Charles H. Gabriel is the author of both the song lyrics and the musical composition. He lived from 1856 to 1932. The year was 1899. The gospel song composer, Mr. Charles H. Gabriel, had just finished writing 11 songs, which he hastily put into an envelope with a letter to Mr. E.O. Excel, a publisher in Chicago. The songwriter's plight was that he needed money, and Mr. Excel had often bought songs from him for prices ranging from $1 to $3 a piece. It doesn't sound like much, but this was not a bad sum when one realizes that a week's wages in those days was often only $5. To make sure that more than one song would appeal to Mr. Excel, Charles Gabriel had offered him the whole lot of 11 songs for $1 each. Upon receiving the songs, Mr. Excel gave them a quick look over, as he said later. He chose 10 of the songs, but decided that number 11 was unusable, for it just seemed to have too many black notes. Okay, he wasn't racist, okay? And if you look, if you're open to that page and you look, you're going to see a bunch of black quarter notes. Now, I don't know why that would be a problem, but that was the reaction of Mr. Excel. There are a bunch of quarter notes, and the round parts are filled in. Anyway, so Mr. Excel took this remaining song with a $10 check and sent it back to Mr. Gabriel. who in turn was so pleased with the $10 check that he sent the song back to the publisher free of charge. History does not tell us the names of the 10 songs with which Mr. XL had kept, but the Christian church around the world has echoed and re-echoed the strains of number 11, and that's "Oh, That Will Be Glory." For who hasn't sung the glory song, or "Oh, That Will Be Glory for Me," written by Mr. Charles H. Gabriel? In later years, Mr. Gabriel would often relate the story of the man who had given him inspiration for the song. The man's name was Ed Card, who ran the Sunshine Rescue Mission in St. Louis. Ed's life had been dramatically changed when he met Christ. From a sullen, dull, vindictive individual, his life had become one radiating the love and power of the gospel. During a sermon or prayer, and with a smiling face, he would often exclaim, "Glory." It was also his custom to end his praying with a reference to heaven and the phrase, "That will be glory for me." Along the way, friends took his new radiant face and the word glory, which had become such an important part of his vocabulary, and put them together, and from then on, Ed Card was known as Old Glory Face. Ed Card lived long enough to see that the song he had inspired became one of the most popular gospel songs of its day. And Mr. Charles Gabriel went on to become one of the outstanding gospel song composers of all time. Other hymn favorites to his credit include "His Eyes on the Sparrow," "Since Jesus Came Into My Heart," "The Way of the Cross Leads Home," and a host of others. That's the end of the hymn story by Alfred B. Smith. Following are my thoughts and motivation for choosing this hymn story tonight. I already mentioned that this is an anniversary of VE Day. The Bible verse which accompanies this hymn is Revelation 21:4. "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." And when I read that, I thought you could apply that in a sense to the ending of World War II. Actually, World War II, it totally didn't end, but it ended in Europe. And I selected this hymn story because today, as I mentioned, is the 74th anniversary of VE Day, which was 8th of May, 1945, and signaled the end of the war in Europe with the surrender of Nazi Germany. And for those who endured these hard times, I'm sure it was quite glorious for them to see the fighting and suffering come to an end, at least in that part of the world. I was looking for something that might go along with this anniversary, and while reading the hymn story, and especially the accompanying Bible verse, it seemed to be very fitting. Whether it is a war between nations or a spiritual war, many of the same kinds of suffering and sacrifice are experienced by those who endure such events. There is much hardship, sorrow, sacrifice, and death as a result of these fightings. Certainly not all Christians have gone through the extremes of persecution, including martyrdom, for their faith in Jesus Christ, but all have suffered to some degree because the world is no friend to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we are told that the world will hate us as Christ was hated. And the passage in John 15, verses 18 to 21, where the Lord told them that the world will hate you because it hated him. And just as there was well-deserved celebration associated with the ending of World War II in Europe to express the glorious feelings of seeing the end of that conflict, there will also be an end to the conflict between good and evil, between heaven and hell, and between our God and the devil. Tonight's hymn and the Bible verse of Revelation 24 will be the victory cry of all those who have put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. When we get to see the end of the greatest and most horrible war, which is the long war against God. And that ends the hymn story and my commentary for tonight. And so now we'll keep those thoughts in mind as we turn to number 688 and sing the glory song. Or, "Oh, That Will Be Glory."
When all my labors and trials
singing. Thank you. Always amazed me how people could write songs and music that express feelings to this extent. It's perfect. I hope you enjoyed it. Does anybody have any thoughts they would want to share with the with the rest of us here about what we talked about tonight? Okay, well, that's all I have for you. And we'll just break off into our prayer groups there. Thank you, Jason, for playing. Okay.